Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Why don't you stretch out your hands to heaven? Jesus, we thank you that right now you are going to move. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do what you want to do in our lives tonight. We just say that we're not here to go through the motions of a service, go through the motion of hearing the word, but God, we want our lives transformed by your power. Holy Spirit, we want you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we want you to transform us. Holy Spirit, we want you to do a new thing on the inside of us tonight. So right now, we give you complete permission, God, to speak. I pray that would not be my words tonight, but it would be your words, that Holy Spirit, you would quicken your word in our heart. Holy Spirit, that you'd speak so clearly, so powerfully. God, change us, transform us from the inside out, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. You can take your seat. Thank you, amazing team. Well, you guys live in the most beautiful part of the world. You really do. I think if I could pick anywhere to live in the world, it would have to be the northern beaches of Sydney. Absolutely beautiful. My husband, our family all surf, so it's like the promised land. And we love the land that you have been blessed to live in, but we also love your church. Gosh, C3 Church, you are known for moving in the Holy Spirit. You are known for being a church that is devoted to Jesus. And just for many years, we have admired you as a church. And we love your pastors dearly. Been our ministry friends for many years and love how authentic they are, genuine lovers of Jesus and people. They are fully the real deal. So why don't you give your pastors a hand for the incredible people they are. It was funny, I was walking along Manly Beach this afternoon, just taking time to pray for tonight, and a guy came up to me and he said, oh, can I ask you a question? And I was expecting him to say something like, well, what's the time? And he said to me, do you know Jesus? I know. I was like, I do. I'm a pastor. And he honestly looked shocked. I'm like, I must have really looked like I needed Jesus. But I was like, how cool is that? That you walk along Manly Beach, you get the beauty, and then you're offered Jesus at the same time. I was like, it is happening here. It is all go. It's awesome. But look, I want to get into it tonight. It is a blessing to be here from the incredible city of Melbourne. Blessing to be here with Pastor Corey, who leads one of the most amazing churches in Melbourne. And we have an incredible church there. What God is doing in our city is amazing. We need it. 2 years of lockdowns. We need revival in our city. But I've been married to my husband, Craig, for over 20 years now. We've been in ministry for 20 years. And we have 3 children, Zion, who is 14 years old, Hope, our daughter, is 12 years old, going on 20. And we have our youngest, Ezekiel, who we call Easy, and he is 5 years old. And our youngest, Ezekiel, he loves to play hide and seek. Absolutely loves it. But when he plays hide and seek, there's a twist to the game. See, he loves to be found. He will say to me, Mum, I'm going to go hide. Come and find me. And I will hear him loudly finding his place to hide. And then from his hiding spot, he will yell, Mum, come and find me. And I've got to admit, I take my time sometimes. I just do a few chores that need doing. And he's yelling at the top of his voice, Mum, come and find me. And so I edge closer and closer. And as he hears me edging closer, he starts to giggle. There's this delight in being found, this delight in being discovered. And you know what? In each and every one of us, God has put a delight to be found. a sense of would someone see me, a sense of would someone see the significance that's on my life, that sense of would someone call me out of hiding. And you know, I love that we have a God that calls us out of hiding. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. He is the God that calls us out of hiding. He is the God that sets us on fire, that gives us a purpose, that calls us to live this life that's full on for Him, living in His promises, knowing His purpose. He is a God that delights in calling us out of hiding. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 to 13. It's a story of David when he's anointed to be king, and Saul hasn't obeyed God, so God says to the prophet Samuel, I want you to anoint another king, one that is going to serve me, that's going to be a man after my own heart. And so from verse 10, Samuel was there to anoint the new chosen king. And it says this in verse 10, Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to them, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Jesse answered, there's still the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So they sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, arise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. I love that passage of scripture because in that moment, God pulls David out of hiding. David is just a shepherd boy. He's not even important enough to have at the meeting. He is the runt of the family, not even considered by his father, yet he is drawn out of the hiding place. He is anointed powerfully with the Spirit of God. Then a few chapters later, we see him taking on Goliath and taking on that giant and then stepping into God's promises for his life. See, we see the same thing happen with the disciples just before the day of Pentecost comes. They are in the upper room. They are in worship. They are praying. Then the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. They are anointed with the Spirit of God, and then they go throughout the entire world preaching the good news. There's a boldness, and there's a confidence, and there's a courage that they step into because they are anointed. They are brought out of hiding. And I love all through the Word of God, you see this take place, the trend that God has of bringing people out of hiding. You see it with Joseph. He's hidden in the prison, but then he's brought out of hiding to deliver Egypt. You see it with Moses. He's in hiding in the desert because he has done wrong. But then God appears to him, asks him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. We see it with Gideon. He's hiding in the wine press, but God brings him out of hiding to deliver the Israelites. Esther was in hiding. I suppose that sense of had intimidation over her that she wouldn't even say who her people were. Yet she comes out of hiding and delivers her people from evil. There is something about our God that delights in bringing us out of the hiding place. And when His Holy Spirit touches our life, when His anointing falls on us, there is a sense of boldness. There's a sense of courage. There is a sense of purpose. There is a fire that falls upon us. When we encounter the Spirit of God, we can't help but take territory for our God. We can't help but step into His purpose. We can't help but see people won to Jesus Christ. We can't help but see people become disciples of our incredible God. There's something that when we encounter the Holy Spirit, we come alive in His purpose. When I was just a young girl, I grew up in an amazing Christian family. And from the age of probably about five, I just wanted to serve Jesus. We were in a little country church, probably about 80 people. And I remember watching the pastor's wife. It was the epitome of what a woman could do in church at that time. And she would play keys. And I would watch her and think, oh my gosh, Imagine one day being able to play keys in church. Imagine being a pastor's wife, being able to serve you like that, Jesus. And then I went through school and got into high school and got to that point where, well, God, if this is real, if heaven, hell, if you are real, I want to know that I know for myself. Because if it's real, it's worth giving everything to. And so as this little 11-year-old girl, I locked myself in my bedroom for 3 Sunday afternoons in a row. And the first Sunday afternoon, I prayed. I said, God, would you show up? Would you reveal yourself? And nothing happened. I'm like, God, this isn't looking good for you. The second Sunday afternoon, I still remember it, being there just saying, God, would you come? Reveal yourself to me. Nothing happened. Again, I'm like, God, we'll go one more Sunday. This isn't looking good. But that third Sunday, I still remember it. Being at the end of my bed, I was on my knees, and this presence turned up in my room. And I remember weeping, just weeping, encountering this love that I had never known in my life. And I had incredible parents. I'd known the love of a dad that adored me, but this love, nothing compared to it. And I remember just weeping in his presence and just saying, my God, you're real. My God, you're here. You're encountering me. You're revealing yourself to me. And from that point on, I said to him, well, God, you're real. It's worth giving everything to. And in that moment, I went from there and just had encounter after encounter of the Holy Spirit. And I've discovered that when we encounter the Holy Spirit, he brings us out of the hiding place. That sense of, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to live for you. God, I want my life to count for something. And he brings us out of the hiding place and he steps us into his purpose. He steps us into his plan. He sees us live for his will, not our will. And we end up living these lives of fruitfulness where we're bearing fruit that we never, never thought we could on our own. Never thought, who am I to be doing this? But God anoints us with his Holy Spirit. And when he anoints us with his Holy Spirit, we step into what we could never do in the natural. And I know, I have a sense tonight that there's some people that are here and you've had a sense for a very long time maybe. There's been this stirring of, God, I want to do something for you. God, I want to be drawn out of the hiding place. God, I want to be drawn out of complacency. I'm sick of just living for the natural. I'm just sick of living for the day to day. God, I want something more. And tonight I believe the Holy Spirit wants to show up and bring us out of the hiding place. Bring us into walking for the God purpose and in the God purpose that he has for our lives. But see, the thing is, we also have an enemy that wants to keep us in hiding. We have an enemy that wants to keep us in hiding because he knows the potential that's on your world. He knows what you can do for the kingdom of God. He knows the impact you can have in the lives of others. He knows the territory that you can take for God. He knows the possibilities of what's on your life, and he wants to keep you in hiding. End of last year, we were given some vouchers by a beautiful friend to go to the Crown Towers, and it's this beautiful hotel in Melbourne City. It's absolutely stunning, the nicest hotel that we have. And we went Christmas Eve, walked in, and we decided straight away with all 3 kids, like, let's go to the pool, let's have some fun together in the pool. And as we were getting ready, Craig said to my son Zion, let's go to the gym quickly beforehand. So I was there with our youngest Ezekiel and our daughter Hope, and Easy was just having the time of his life. Jumping in the pool, I was catching him. He was having a great time. And then I said to him, mate, why don't we just chill a little bit? Let's relax. Why don't we go to the spa and just hang together in the spa and chill out? Just let yourself settle just a little bit. So we went to the spa together and we're sitting in the spa, and out of nowhere, my son projectile vomits. True story. Projectile vomits, this brown vomit, directly into the spa. He has not vomited in his life up till that point. But the one time he does is into this spa. And I watch it happening. And I'm like, what do I do? Like, you just go into that panic mode where you freeze. Like, what do I do here? And so I do what any good mum would do. And I start to take the chunks of vomit. I know. Take the chunks of vomit out of the spa. And I'm just thinking to myself, what do I do here? But the thing is, the bubbles have come up, you know, so they're kind of spreading it everywhere. And I'm like, look, chlorine will take care of it. I used to work at a hot pool. I know what chlorine does. And then I thought, well, let's get Easy out of the spa. Like, so I get him out and I wrapped him in a towel and I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? And then the next thing I see a lady going around the pool. It's this beautiful complex full of people on Christmas Eve. Would have been about 150 people there. And I see her walking around the pool and asking people to get out. And I'm like, surely not, Jesus. Surely not that Lord, help that not to be us. And so she's asking people to get out and she comes over to me and she says, ma'am, we're going to ask you not to get back in the pool. We've had a dangerous incident happen and we don't want you to go back in. So I'm like, oh, that's fine. And then most people end up leaving the pool, but a few people stay around and I'm one of them because I want to check out what's going on. And then a guy starts coming around just informing people that the pool won't be open for another 2 hours. And so he says to me, would you like to know what happened? Before I can say no, he starts to tell me the story. He said, look, we saw two families saw a little boy vomit into the pool and the parent was trying to hide the vomit. I looked at him and I went, oh, really? I felt like saying I was not trying to hide the vomit. I was trying to get the vomit out of the pool. And so they said, we're going to have to close the pool for 2 hours. So our daughter Hope had come over by that time. I said to Hope, go get your father right now. And so she went and got Craig. Craig comes back. I'm like, babe, what are we going to do? We have just emptied out the nicest pool in Melbourne City on Christmas Eve. What are we going to do? And he looks at me. He's like, why don't we just enjoy the day beds? They're all free now. Let's take our time. But as we, no word of a lie, as we walked out of the pool, the reception desk, they're all talking about this incident that happened. We go to the lift. There's a family in the lift and they say, ma'am, we were wanting to use the pool, but apparently a kid vomited in the pool and the pool is now closed on Christmas Eve. Can you believe it? I'm like, I know. Can you believe it? And honestly, the entire hotel was talking about it. All I wanted to do was hide. I wanted to go into my hotel room, wrap myself in a blanket and just hide. So embarrassed. You know what? There is an enemy in our lives that wants to do the same to us. He wants to wrap us in shame. He wants to wrap us in condemnation. He wants to wrap us in fear. He wants to wrap us in our own ability and our own pride, our own achievements. He wants to wrap us in our insecurities and keep us hidden. Keep us hidden so that we can't take the territory that God has called us to take. But I'm here to say we've got to stand up to the enemy and say, no, 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 you don't get a say here because I'm a child of God. I'm called to take territory. I'm called to come out of the hiding place. Even though I feel like I just want to hide, there is a God in heaven who is calling my name and he's calling me out of the hiding place because he's got a plan. He's got a purpose for my life and I'm going to say yes to him and no to the stinking enemy. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look very quickly at how we're brought out of hiding. And the first thing is we've got to stand strong in our convictions. See, we are people of faith and we are called to live lives of conviction. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5 says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. We are called to be people of conviction. A lady that came to our church recently and got saved, she's a phenomenal lady, and she was in the community. She believed in many gods, so she came to church because we were honoring her one day, and she ended up getting saved in our services. And when we came down, she said to me, man, you guys really believe what you're talking about. And then she ended up getting baptized. She brought her partner to church. He got saved. She's bringing her family to church. She's doing a community reach in her community, just seeing people come all the time to church. But those words, you really believe what you believe. We are called to be people that stand on the Word of God, that stand in His truth, that stand in the promises of God, people of conviction, not people that get deterred by things that come our way, deterred by circumstance, but we are people who stand in conviction. I was reminded about this when a beautiful boy of ours in church, he was a 19-month-old, and he had a heart attack one night after dinner. And he ended up having CPR for 2 hours straight. And as he was having a CPR, obviously his parents were Christians, they were crying out to God. But they rushed him to hospital, and the first miracle happened. They were able to get him on life support. Usually when a kid has CPR for 2 hours, they're not even able to get him on life support. But they got him on life support that night. And then they phoned us and said, man, we need a miracle here. The doctors are saying there's no way that he's going to live. If anything, he may be able to show signs of life, but his brain is going to be dead. And so we went to prayer. That night I felt God say to me, the Holy Spirit gave us Psalm 91, that he has long life. He will sustain him with long life. And we stood on the Word of God. The parents put up all around their room in the hospital, and we stood on the Word of God. And it was honestly miracle after miracle happened in that little boy. 7 weeks later, he walked out of that hospital with no cognitive dysfunction whatsoever, a completely healthy little boy. The doctors were so amazed about it that they said there's no way that his heart could have stopped for him to be the way he is. We haven't seen that in our 20 years of being in Royal Children's Hospital. There's no way. So they went back to the defibrillator and checked out the record, and it showed that his heart had stopped for 4 minutes. They're like, we have never seen that before. See, we are called to be people that stand on the Word of God, that no matter what comes our way, we stand true, we stand sure on the promises of God, because when we stand in conviction, it causes people to go, I don't understand it, but there's something going on there that I need. There's something going on there. I need a little bit of a piece of that. We are called to stand as people of conviction. And you know what? Over the last couple of years, the enemy has subtly tried to chip away at our conviction as Christians. It started with lockdown. You know, church isn't that important. Do you really need church? And then when we came back, it was complicated with passports and all that stuff. So our tendency was to fight each other rather than stand in unity. And then we get back, and there's this political climate at the moment of, you know, don't speak about your faith because you don't want to be too strong. You don't want to be too in people's face. And the enemy slowly chips away at our conviction. But I'm here to say we need to be people of conviction who stand knowing the truth of our God, knowing the goodness of our God, knowing what He is able to do. And we stand in the conviction of the Holy Spirit because He is an incredible God. He is so good. The second thing is coming out of hiding is when we live surrendered to His pursuit. See, God's presence is continually pursuing us, continually wanting us to say yes to Him, continually wanting the best for our lives. But you know what? It's so easy for us to run from the pursuit of our God. Like Jonah did, he ran from God's purpose, not wanting to fulfill it. And it can be so easy for us to run, but in the moment, just like Jonah had, he had a moment of surrender. And as soon as he surrendered to God, he was able to step into his God purpose and God promise. I'm here to say to us tonight, and maybe to challenge us, is there an area in your life where God is pursuing, and He keeps pursuing, and He keeps saying, would you surrender that? Would you surrender that relationship? Would you surrender the financial control that you have? Would you surrender you know, your plans for my plans. And he's continually pursuing. And there's that point where as soon as we say yes, as soon as we surrender, God breathes his power over our lives. He breathes his purpose. But it comes from that yes in us. Now, I remember the moment when God called us to move to Melbourne 10 years ago. And we had just bought our first home in New Zealand. It was a miracle home. I had, Zion was 4 years old at the time. Hope was 18 months. We were so closely connected to our family. To leave our family was a huge deal. And God so clearly spoke to us, though, that we knew it was the right move of obedience to move to Melbourne. But I remember pouring out my heart to God at an altar call at a conference and just saying, God, why? Why does it need to be this kind of sacrifice? God, why are you asking this of us? God, why? Why now? Why, God? And so clearly God spoke to me and said, Nadia, I'm not interested in your comfort. I'm interested in your obedience. Because in your obedience, I'm released to move through you. Where is God knocking in our heart and saying, would you give me your obedience? Would you give me your yes? Would you give me your surrender? Because what I've discovered, as soon as we give him our surrender, he moves in power through our lives. His purpose is unlocked through our lives. And we end up, like scripture says in Matthew, when Jesus talking to disciples, he said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. But whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And you find this life that's even greater than you could ever have imagined, working it out in your own control and your own purposes and your own plans, because he releases you into the best for your life. He can be trusted. He can be trusted with your yes. Where is he knocking on the door of your heart and saying, would you let me in that area? Would you allow me to move? Would you allow me to lead you? Would you allow me to take you out of the hiding place and release you into the promises and the purpose that I have for you? The last thing, if the band can join me, please, is when we allow the word to form us, not just inform us. When we allow the word to form us, not just inform us. You know, the word of God is there to form us into the likeness of Jesus, to form us into who he's called us to be, to bring us out of the hiding place. But so often we treat the word of God like it's an option, like it's there to inform us, but not create us. So when we lean into the word of God, it gives God permission to shape us, to change us, to renew us, to lead us, to cause us to enter into everything he has for us. See, God created us, but he created us with a specific purpose, Ephesians 2 says, for good works. He's got a plan, he's got a purpose, but we're formed by his word. But so often we treat God's word like a pit stop that we need to make when we really need it, rather than the platform that we're called to build our lives upon. The word of God is meant to shape us, transform us, renew us. See, it says this in James 1 verse 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do. The word of God is powerful. It's there to transform us. But see, what we so often do, like that scripture says, is we get the word of God and we look at it like this, like looking in the mirror. Psalm 139, I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Jesse, if you could come up and help me out with this, it'd be awesome. And we read that word, but we don't take it with us. We don't meditate on it. We don't allow it to shape us. We don't allow it to transform us. So we go and do our thing in life. And, you know, maybe we get on social media and it tells us what we should look like, who we should be like. And so we end up, instead of the word transforming us, we take on insecurity. We put on insecurity instead of the Word of God and how He's fashioned us and created us to be. And then we read in Colossians 3, verse 13, how we're meant to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we read that, but then we leave it. We don't take it with us. We don't allow it to transform us. And so we take on, again, unforgiveness. And we put unforgiveness on instead of the forgiveness that we're called to live in. And we bring that on, and again, it's not fitting for us. It's not what we're called to live with. Again, we take the Word of God that says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well, but we just take it as information. We don't allow it to transform us, to change us. And so again, we go through life and things come up, but instead of seeking Him first with our whole heart, giving Him our devotion, we end up living in compromise. We end up taking on compromise in our life and living with that instead, and instead of seeking Him with all our heart, and we have this stuff on that is ill-fitting and not something that we are formed and shaped to wear. We see in 1 John 4 verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear. But again, instead of taking this, instead of allowing it to shape us, we take on fear. Instead of God's love. And it's not fitting for us. It doesn't look good on us. Because we've taken on something that we were never meant to take on. Because the Word of God has just informed us, it hasn't formed us. 2 Corinthians. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. So what is temporary, unseen is eternal. But again, we don't listen. And we end up filling our lives with all these distractions, all the stuff that we were never called to carry, all the stuff that we were never called to be weighed down on. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But instead of allowing it to shape us, to form us, we leave it. It's just information. It's not there to transform us. And we live with condemnation and shame. And look at us. We've got all the stuff that we were never designed to carry. It was never designed to fashion and shape who we are. The Word of God was called to shape us. And there's some of us, many of us here tonight, and we are carrying things that are keeping you in hiding because you've taken on stuff that you were never designed to wear, never designed to have part of your identity. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight as we enter into a time of ministry is He wants to take off the layers. Because see, when we've got all these layers, we don't want to come out of hiding. I want to hide if I'm looking like this. But see what the Holy Spirit does. Do you see if you could come help? Just put that stuff down. The Holy Spirit starts to take the layers off. He starts to deal with the compromise. He starts to deal with the distractions. He starts to deal with the fear, with the condemnation. He starts to deal with our insecurities. He starts to deal with that sense of complacency. Starts to deal with that sense of just living for comfort, living for our wants and our needs. And then He starts to transform us into who we were always called to be, made to be in the image of a living God who loves us, who redeemed us, who saved us, who knows you by name, and He calls you out of the hiding place. So why don't we stand to our feet tonight? Because I think right now, God wants to deal with layers. Layers that have kept us in hiding. Layers that have caused us not to step into the full promise of God for our lives. Maybe there's some of us here and you feel like you're having a Jonah moment. Running from the purposes of God, and God's like, it's time to surrender. It's time to let go. Maybe there's some of us here and it's that sense of, I just need my conviction ignited again, because man, living for Him, it's what matters most. devoted for Him. It's what it all comes back to. And right now, the Holy Spirit just wants to come and He wants to do business. So what I'd love to do is to open up the altar tonight, and we're going to have people praying, and we're just going to believe that God is going to move, the Holy Spirit is going to move, and He's going to do a work tonight to bring us out of hiding, to anoint us powerfully with His Holy Spirit, to pour out His presence over our lives in such a powerful way that we would know His goodness, His courage, His boldness that is with us afresh. So why don't we lift our hands to heaven? Holy Spirit, right now we give You permission to do what only You can do. Holy Spirit, right now we give You permission to move in our inner world. Holy Spirit, would You reveal things that You want to strip off us tonight? God, whether it's insecurity, whether it's fears, whether it's compromise, whether it's doubts, whether it's our own comfort, God, I pray that You would deal with those things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray where there's any sense of just lack of conviction, I pray that You would breathe Your Holy Spirit conviction tonight. I thank You that You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray, breathe Your conviction. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that as we have this moment of surrender, that You would pour out the power of Your Holy Spirit over every single life. Holy Spirit, we ask You to move. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you'd like prayer tonight, you're saying, you know what? I want to step out of the hiding place. I want to step in a new way to everything that God has for me. Why don't you come down the front, and I would love to pray for you. Team would love to pray for you. And we're just going to believe that the layers would start to come off. There'd be a fresh conviction that would arise. And as we enter into that place of fresh surrender, that His Holy Spirit would just pour out in a new way to give us courage, to give us confidence, to ignite our devotion afresh, to ignite our fire afresh. So come on, why don't you come down the front and let's go for a Holy Spirit move of God tonight where we're brought out of the hiding place in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.